It's been really beautiful to sit here with you all today. I really appreciate your practice a lot. And as I was going through the kitchen, I was stopped by a sign on the table in there, and I had to share it as a deep teaching from this temple. And it could be mistaken as whimsical. However, it's right in line with what we're talking about, and is easily reinterpreted into Buddhist teaching. And it says, "Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help, so have a good day." And I'm not trying to, bring in anything overtly God-like. Some people don't necessarily want to hear that. I don't know, maybe no one here, but nevertheless, this is God. I'll be getting all your problems today. I will not need your help. So have a good day. And it's really that same well-wishing and to rest in the peace and not in our thinking and our thoughts and our trying to make the world around us and the planning and the judging and the criticizing and the fantasizing. I realize I'm not fantasizing, but trying to make our world all comfortable and fit just right. It's not as if there's not problems, and it's not as if we don't have to include them. We do include them, but adding on to them with our stories and our ceaseless waves of thinking can be so painful and exhausting, that addiction to our thinking mind, just trying to figure it out over and over and over again, and then realizing it's really just a story that we're making up in our mind. And it's so wonderful to be able to have a little bit of space to realize, oh, this is just thinking. This is just a story. I'm actually not going to die from it. I'm going to be okay. Even if 5 seconds later we fall prey to that same story again. Bit by bit, we're creating a space of peace that we can rest in more easily, instead of resting in our stories and our ideas and our plans and our opinions and our wanting and our not wanting. Peace. What a beautiful word. And so I wanted to bring into the room a little bit of Zen teaching. This is called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. Suzuki Roshi, a much beloved Zen master who came to the San Francisco area and really transformed the area with his teachings. He died in the early 70s. And we talked a little bit about mind weeds. And in the last sitting, I read something from Tibetan Rinpoche about the beaten helpless by karma and neurotic thought, like the endless waves in the infinite ocean of samsara, and those waves just beating us. And in Zen teaching, there's a way, it's so beautiful, it's been really helpful for my practice, where in Zen, the invitation is to include everything, to just include it, and there's no reason to leave anything out. And it's not that that isn't so in the insight teachings and Vipassana teachings. In fact, it is so. But it's really, emphasized in Zen teachings, this all-inclusive mind that just allows, everything is our teacher. We wake up together, we wake up with all things, nothing left out. And it's been a beautiful teaching for me in my practice. And so Suzuki Roshi says, do not be bothered by anything. It appears as if something comes from outside your mind, but actually it is only the waves of your mind. And if you are not bothered by the waves, gradually they will become calmer and calmer. In 5 or at most 10 minutes, your mind will be completely serene and calm.
My words.
Maybe. It takes time. At that time, your breathing will become quite slow while your pulse will become a little faster. It will take quite a long time before you find your calm, serene mind in your practice. Many sensations come, many thoughts or images arise, but they are just waves of your own mind. Nothing comes from outside of your mind. Usually we think of our mind as receiving impressions and experiences from outside, but that is not a true understanding of our mind. He says, nothing outside yourself can cause any trouble. You yourself make the waves in your own mind. And he talks about mind weeds. He says, so you should not be bothered by your mind. You should rather be grateful for the weeds. Those weeds being those thoughts we may think we shouldn't be thinking. You should rather be grateful for the weeds because eventually they will enrich your practice. If you have some experience of how the weeds in your mind change into mental nourishment, your practice will make remarkable progress. You will feel the progress. You will feel how they change into self-nourishment. So that's it's beautiful, and it's quite a promise, really. And so confident.
I love it. I actually really love that promise, and kind of the same thing. It's okay, you know.
The problems arise, the thoughts arise, the weeds sprout, but the weeds wake us up too. It really is dependent on our relationship with them, how we're relating to our thinking mind, and when we have an intention of non-contention with our thoughts, and we're sitting in meditation and we're not taking ourselves away through movement, through the endless ways we escape, and our lives. It's escape, but it's also necessary doing how we live our lives. We come to our cushion. And when we see how we relate to our mind, how our mind relates to things, the world, inner and outer, and how we relate to our mind, it can be really painful to see, like, gosh, I'm my worst enemy. What's going on here? I've had those thoughts. I don't like myself too much, and I should be doing, as I see that, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that, and going through the whole parade of my life, and it can be really hard. And at some point there was a shift in my practice that allowed me, with the help of the Zen teachings, I have to say, that allowed me to build a new relationship with myself. when with my thinking mind, and to see that that which is painful, those places that I didn't want to include, that they in fact were places, thoughts, parts of me that shining this light of awareness on them helped them to come out and be seen and let them live their life and move through. It took time, and it still takes time. It's my practice, really. It's a radical practice of leaving nothing out, not thinking that none of it is okay. Something is not okay, and in fact, when something is not okay, then my practice is being okay with the not okayness, and that can just go on and on. It's like, okay, this isn't okay. Can I be okay with that? As I said, I've done a lot of retreat practice in the last 10 years, and I've spent months in retreat. And also, I'll just to say that, short retreats of a week or less, my experience of that are there's just as powerful as long retreats. But I've been lucky enough to do some long retreats, and a couple of years ago I went to, I went to England for the first time and did a long period of retreat practice in a beautiful retreat center, and I was so excited. And I was going to be working with a teacher that I just was dying to work with, and I had these particular practices in mind, and I was just sure I was going to be the best meditator ever, and I was going to have the best retreat ever. And I met with my teacher, Gil Fronsdell, just before I left. And one of the last things I said to him was, I said, so, is there any books or reading that you think I should bring or read on this retreat? I was a good student. And he just smiled, and he said, he goes, yes, he goes, read the Book of the Heart. I'm like, okay, the Book of the Heart. And I knew what he meant, but it's interesting how just a suggestion filters into our consciousness. Read the Book of the Heart. And of course he was telling me, no need to pick up texts. Not that they can't be helpful, but no need, but to read the Book of the Heart. And so I went to England for my retreat and my deep practice period, and I had expectations of what that retreat would be like. And I thought that I was going to go deep into samadhi, which is another word for concentration, nonstop concentration, and that my thinking mind would stop. I thought that would happen, and instead what I found is that my thinking mind was out of control, and I was a long way from home, and I was there for a long time, and the teacher I was working with, which she would say to me, so what's going on with that? And I just would not want it to be there. I wouldn't want it to be there. And I really suffered. I was in a lot of mental anguish. And so a shift happened on that retreat. And I found my mind so out of control that I came to a place of surrender. And this type of surrender, retreats are certainly conducive to supporting this, but this can happen in daily life. This can happen in our world outside of retreat, and it does. But I came to a place of surrender, and it really broke my heart open. And I did a lot of walking meditation, and I would be on the walking path, and tears would be pouring down my face, and I let go of whatever practice I was doing, and the tears would be pouring down my face, and I would just be offering myself love, caring, love. And I would just like, I love you. I love you. I just tell myself, I love you. I love you. And it's, and sometimes it'd be, it's okay. I love you. And I did this for a long time, walking period after walking period. And it opened up a heart of compassion in me that I really had not experienced in my practice prior to that. Prior to that, there was a way that I was pushing out things that I didn't want. And I had enough stability, and I've done enough retreats that I was able to do that somewhat successfully. But what I saw was that these things wanted to be seen. They wanted to be seen, these parts of me, and that they kept coming up, and they kept coming up, and I just, no, I can sit still. I'm a perfect meditator. But just, it came to a point where that wasn't possible, and it was like, here they are. It's okay. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love, you know, myself, my mind that tells me stories about myself and the world that aren't true and that arise out of conditions and circumstances in beginningless time. And I would say that was a real shift. That was a turning point in my practice of accepting for myself, and a softening of the boundaries between the world and myself, and also, it's all right, it's okay, let it all in, you know, let it all in. So really, a space of acceptance is what really can allow the practice to unfold and open in such a beautiful way. It's like this, I can read you this beautiful poem. You may have heard it. It's a short one by a Japanese, it's an ancient poem, Isa. And it's in the shade of the cherry blossom tree, there's no such thing as a stranger. In the shade of the cherry blossom tree, there's no such thing as a stranger. And this is the shade of soft, caring, accepting mindfulness. And under that shade, this beautiful, caring shade of mindfulness, nothing is left out. Nothing is a stranger. It's like, oh, I see you. Okay, I see you. It's not that there's not still pain. It's not that there's not still sorrow or judging. Those come in, but they come in and we don't add so much that extra pushing away, which tells them, you're not okay. It's a practice where we can begin to be okay, even with the painful, even with that which is not okay. When I came out of that retreat in England, at a retreat center called Gaia House, my practice was, what I called it, was a practice of loving that which does not love. And that was my practice, to see those parts of myself that didn't love, and offering them caring. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage for us to be with ourselves and to see those places, those dark places, and it's very natural. We go in and out, and there might be plateaus where, you know, I'm actually just not ready to see this. I can't do it. And then there's the breath and the body. And in a sitting period, we come back to the breath and the body countless times, and because the mind wanders, the mind goes off, and sometimes the mind wanders and, you know, there's different reasons we're tired. It's what the mind does, and it can just be as if someone else is thinking it. Like, you might as well be the person behind you thinking these thoughts. If the thoughts are so not a part of who you are in that moment anyway. But other times thoughts can be much more compelling and draw us in, either because it can feel very satisfying. It can be fantasy. Not that fantasy necessarily is good or pleasant, but it can just pull us in. And other times it can bring up emotions or it can arise out of emotions. And it can really be hard to be with, hard to bear our thoughts and our emotions. And that's why the practice of just coming back to our breath and our body, which we do endlessly in a day, it's like, oh gosh, can I do it one more time? I don't know. But building the muscle, this foundation of the body and the breath as a resting place, is it's funny, the words that come to me is like, for me, I'll say for me, saves my life. It saves my life. It allows me to be present for myself and the world in a way that I could never have done it without this practice. It's funny, we're almost out of time, so I don't need to say any more. But the last thing I will say, because gosh, I would love a couple minutes to hear from you, is I'm just so happy to have been here with you today and to share in your practice and all our joint commitments to waking up together and being together. And this is a big deal. As simple and ordinary it is, you all know, you come and take in this day and coming back to here, it really goes against the stream of the world and all the different ways we live our life, and to nourish yourself in this way. Thank you for nourishing yourself, and thank you for cultivating the nourishment, and maybe letting the weeds nourish the world.
It's really good. It's really good.
Can we have a couple minutes in case anyone? I just love to hear anything, if you have anything to say before we disband.
I'm sorry, I put my hand up and then I saw yours come up in the field there. during the metta, guided metta meditation, I was also struggling with and partly give love to yourself, love and kindness. And I was thinking, why can't I feel this? Why can't I feel this? I just kept wondering, why couldn't I feel it? I could say it as quickly as it rolled off your lips. It ticked away in my head. I just couldn't feel it. And then I received a gift and I thought, well, I'm just a guest at this party, so I should probably share this gift. A picture of me when I was a child that I've seen recently came right to my mind so clear. It was a picture of me and very young and very obviously in a state of real, I was having my first communion, so dressed in white, and I was just so lovable looking in that picture. And when that came to my mind, I was immediately filled with love for myself and kindness for myself. And then I remembered, right, whenever anybody does something that I think is like maybe something I'm going to judge, I go, whoa, they're just a child like you. Mm-hmm. And just look at them as a child. And that was the gift that I got when I couldn't love myself through that meditation. Mm-hmm. I got it in meditation, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's often we bring a visualization into our metta in the beginning to visualize ourselves or the person we want to offer to. And I didn't this time because sometimes it's difficult and it's so great. Metta will just bring that out.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Thank you. I know I saw someone over here as well. Let me go ahead.
I just wanted to say that the energy that I feel in this room is really tremendous. The definition that I appreciate for synergy is that one and one equals more than two. And I feel that today. I feel the synergy and support and love here. And I want to just say I'm really glad to be a part of this. And thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here, too.
Kathy, yes, I thank you for coming today and for creating that environment for us and for us. And I especially appreciate your speaking just now from your deep heart about your practice in your life and what it's meant to you and how it's changed you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate your story. And I must admit, I probably have a few dozen things that occur to me on a regular basis of kinds of thoughts that I don't like to be having. It's the idea of aversion, and it just kind of reminds me how powerful the Buddha's teaching is, because that goes right back to what is the second noble truth, having to do with grasping and aversion.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn how to deal with our with the aversion that we have to things that come up in our own life.
Mm. Yes. Yes, Eric. Yes. Yes, we do. That's where the freedom happens, is in our own mind. We free the world when we free our mind. Yes. Yes. Well, thank you again, and why don't we do just a very short dedication of merit. We can just close our eyes for a minute and rest our body and some breath in to nourish ourselves. And just bring it in really soft and small and big at the same time. Feeling held here and held by the group. And that radiation of caring and well-wishing. Just bring it in like a light right into your core. Just right into your core of your being. Maybe it's your heart center, but just your whole core. Bring it in. Nourish that core of caring and love and self-acceptance. And spread it out from your core. Feel it in your body. It's this beautiful light. This beautiful light that, of course, is not mine, is not yours. It's moving and shifting and passing through. And yet, even though it's not ours, we can still wish it for each other here in this room. And we can let that light go. We never had it anyway. And we can just let it go and, you know, and eclipse and engulf everyone in the room and open up and let that light spill into each one of us. And you can share it. And there is strength in that. And we can open up into the surrounding area. All these towns and cities here, the land, the people, the animals, the plants, and spread that light, and they are too, as well, engulfed in it. And then it can spread out all over the land, all over the seas, to all beings, the land and the sea, the oceans, the mountains, the air, the earth. This light is nourishing it all and all of us. And when we let go of the light, we know that. We let go of this caring. We know that it's always here, this caring and safety. And we can see that it's everywhere. And so we can offer that caring, that light, that beautiful, beautiful practice that we've come together today and we've nourished and grown. And all the goodness, all the merit from this practice, that we've done here today in this room, may it nourish and free all beings, everyone and everything, everywhere.
I'm just going to say a few words. Thank you very much, Kathy. And everyone here, take a moment and thank yourself for coming. Because that intention to come and showing up is a wholesome quality And that's a condition, a cause and condition for more wholesome actions and more wholesome practice. So take a moment and allow that to sink in. As Kathy would say, take your hand, take a right hand, put it on your left shoulder. Take your left hand and put it on your right shoulder. Give yourself a big hug. Say thank you for the practice you've done today.
Thank you.